Oh, that's right. We're right here, Sharp Fastest Gallery, this morning, and I have Pam Oakes on the line with us this morning. She has Pam's Motor City Automotive. She's written Clueless about car care. I think that's the right title, if I'm not. Car Care for the Clueless, excuse me. She has a website, carcareforthecluelessness.com. She always wants people to be prepared and be involved in how they take care of their cars. It's a great honor to have you here today. How you doing, Pam Oakes?
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me on today.
Absolutely. You know, we wanted to have you on because the holidays and people are going to start doing a lot of traveling, and the car seems to be one of the biggest transportation modes that we use. And, of course, the weather, we don't know what the weather's going to be, but you could encounter some bad weather. So I thought we'd talk about some of the things that people ought to be aware of.
Oh, of course. You know, like I always preach, that once a month, and I always tell everybody to choose the day they're born on, say like you're born on the 20th, go and have your favorite ASC Blue Seal shop or dealership put air in your tires, inspect the tires, and top off the fluid levels. And I say that once a month because you'll have a professional set of eyes looking at your vehicle, and if they see something that's going on, they can tell you ahead of time, so it doesn't domino into a huge repair bill later on. That's number one. Number two is that if you're hearing a little clunk, a little grind, a little moan, or whatever out of your car, fix it now. Don't wait to the day before you take off or that day, because if you're having an issue and there's a parts issue on top of it, you're going to be grounded. And no turkey dinner for you at Grandma's house, I'll tell you that. That's no fun. So, you know, a little preventive maintenance and a little planning ahead, you're going to have a wonderful travel experience.
Sure, that's true. And, you know, one of the things that I think has a tendency to happen is when you're on the road and traveling, it always seems if you're going to have a belt break, that's when it's going to happen.
Oh, it's true, you know. And there are things that will occur, even though you have the vehicle checked over, that you can pre-plan for and make a horrible situation into a minor incident. If everybody gets their pen and pencil or paper handy here, I'll just give you a quick list, a couple of basic things. First of all, have an extra set of keys. You know, if you get into a situation, you have a flat, you ran over something on the highway or whatever, and just in the rush of everything, you would not believe the horror stories I've heard of people losing keys. An extra set of keys on a high key underneath the car, you and a trusted friend or relative only need to know where it's at, and it can get you out of a nasty situation. Another thing, too, is people don't realize that if you get snow and nasty weather and you break down, you can't run the vehicle for the heater, have a thermal blanket, a couple bottles of water, some sealed snacks like the peanut butter and crackers while you're waiting for that tow truck, because sometimes they don't get there too sweet, and you're waiting there for maybe an hour, hour and a half. This is especially important to have if you're diabetic. Very important.
Oh, that's a very good idea. Or if you're traveling with, particularly with younger people and older people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, another thing that you should have, and by the way, these are all items you can find in your house or your basement. You don't have to go out and buy anything. It's a first aid kit. Get some Band-Aids, you know, some Mediquick, a little antiseptic there. You don't even have to have a car situation to have a little nick or cut, and it's always good to get that covered and cleaned up. Another item that you should have on board, if you can, a actual working flashlight. Believe it or not, people
have flashlights. A
working one. A working flashlight. People have flashlights in the vehicle, and they don't check the batteries, and after a period of time, the vehicle's sitting out in the heat and the cold and everything, you know, it's pretty hard on those batteries, and it might not hold the charge that you need. So a working flashlight, either one that plugs into the cigarette lighter, preferably one that has batteries in it, because if you're having a battery issue in your car, then that one that plugs into the cigarette lighter is not going to help. You know what I mean?
I know another one is know when that battery is supposed to be waning, right, for the car battery.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that traveling, and, you know, all of a sudden I go to turn the key and nothing happens, and the battery was almost dead.
Exactly. You know, especially in colder weather, it's a lot harder on the battery, so make sure that that ASC tech, when you have your travel checked, that they double-check that battery. They put a load on it and make sure it's not going to leave you stranded. You know, there are instances where the battery will dead short internally, and it will start fine, everything's fine, and then all of a sudden you go to start the car, and you get nothing, sometimes maybe a clicker, usually nothing. You'll have lights, you'll have a horn, you'll have a radio, you'll have the blower working and everything, but nothing to start the car with. And that's because all those items I mentioned are 12-volt circuits, and so, yes, they're going to operate. But when the battery fails internally, you're not going to have that oomph to turn that starter, to turn that engine over. So that's another thing to watch.
Well, that's those are all good tips. Now, Pam, you know, I have seen advertised some of these, you know, if your battery goes out, you can jump start the battery from inside the car. They've got something that hooks in, I think, maybe to the cigarette lighter or something, or they have an automatic charge built into them. Are those things work?
Yes. Actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because if you do have a battery issue, the last thing you want to do is jumpstart your vehicle off of another. You know, we have a lot of computers in the cars nowadays, and people don't realize how complicated things have gotten. The cars today, they have more electronics in them than the Saturn V rocket that went to the moon. We want to protect our investment, our vehicle. And the bad thing about jumpstarting a car off of another one is that electricity moves almost to the speed of light, and if there's a little spike through there, not only can it damage your car or the car that's giving you the, you know, the jump start,
mm-hmm.
you can have a big repair bill. I had a customer who knew better, felt sorry for somebody, jumped somebody's car, and they had a $1,200 repair bill because of it. So those little things that you see, the charge you put in the cigarette lighter,
mm-hmm.
another thing I'm a big advocate about, they're about $40. They're called a jump box. You can buy it at like a Target, Walmart, you know, a big box store, Kmart, or a parts store. And what it is you just charge it off of an electrical outlet in your house, and it has a million and one uses other than jump starting a car, which I like. I mean, they even have a USB port in there for your computer.
Wow.
So it's great portable energy other than jump starting the car. That's always good if you can come up with the $40 to have that along with you.
Sure, that sounds
good point.
That sounds well. I didn't realize that. That's why I wanted to ask you about that. And what about, you know, people that are going to be traveling in snow and this type of thing, or potentially in snow? You know, do you need chains?
Depending, now see, that's a good question. Depending upon the situation you're going to get into, the vehicle, make a model vehicle, and this is a great conversation to have with your ASC certified tech before you go on that trip. Because some vehicles will fare better with chains than others may require snow tires, depending upon where you're going to be traveling. So you need to have that conversation, because each individual trip and vehicle and how you drive the vehicle is going to depend upon what medium you're going to use for traction for your vehicle.
And don't they make different types of tires now too, Pam, don't they?
Yes, they do.
So some are better for snow and that type of traction?
Yes, they do.
And I think, I mean, I was at a tire store the other day, and somebody was talking about they were getting ready to travel up north, so they wanted to change out their South Carolina tires for northern tires.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Oh, yes.
So,
yes, they do, and that's why they were having that conversation, you know, with their tech there, to find out which tire was going to suit their vehicle the best.
Sure.
Very, very important to ask. Very important.
Well, this is cool. Now, you know, cold weather driving and the battery thing is one issue. Are there any other issues? What about the you talked something about making sure the fluids, but what about antifreeze? I mean, here in South Carolina, I don't really know, and probably down in Florida, but what about the antifreeze aspect?
Oh, definitely. You know, when they're doing that trip check,
mm-hmm.
or that fluid level check, they're going to be checking, you know, if that's going to be worthy for cold weather driving. Another thing, too, is that people don't realize that the automobile manufacturers, now they have specific antifreezes for their different makes and models, and they do not mix and match. You mix and match these, and you get goo. We had a customer who, his next-door neighbor was going to be a good Samaritan, topped the fluid levels off, mixed the antifreeze, and it literally look like a jello mold coming out of the vehicle.
Wow.
So you can't mix and match. You're just going to cause issues. So if you do want to carry a little water or antifreeze with you, make sure with your check before you install that in your car that it's compatible with your make and model. You know, a couple of other items real quick that I'd like to mention that should be on your list. Bungee cords, of course, they have a million and one uses. You never know when you're going to need a bungee cord for something. Clear tarp. You know, if you happen to be in a mishap, an accident, unfortunately, and you want to keep the contents of your car and your interior weather-free,
right,
you put that clear tarp over it. And how do you hold that clear tarp down? Everybody's favorite item.
Duct tape.
Yes, duct tape. Again, it has a million and one uses, and that's going to get you out of a jam, too. For an example, for whatever reason, something from the road comes up, hits one of the lower radiator hose,
right,
and takes it out. Duct tape around that hose is going to get you off the side of the road and over to the repair center. Remember, this is from point A to point B, and another point A to point B item from where the mishap occurred to the shop, immediately going to the shop, point A to point B, a can of Fix-A-Flat.
I was just going to ask you about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fix-A-Flat.
And those will work. I mean, does it have to be a specific type of flat tire, or will it work on most everything?
Well, if the tire's in shreds, you know, that's not going to help you.
Okay.
But, you know, if you ran over a nail and you come out from the restaurant or the hotel you're staying at or whatever and you see that tire is flat, can of Fix-A-Flat is going to get you out of the jam. Now, please, for courtesy, if you could please tell the technician that you put the Fix-A-Flat in there, because when you break the tire down, remember, they're always going to patch from the inside, never plug, always patch. Plugging promotes tire separation even more so than the impact. You want to let them know, because that stuff goes everywhere. And we can put a blanket around it when we break the bead and clean all that out. Another reason why you don't want to run around Fix-A-Flat, those vehicles that have TPMS, tire pressure monitoring systems, you see it, that little symbol, it looks like a horseshoe with an exclamation mark in the
right.
center of it when you start the car. Those little sensors are on each wheel, and you keep that Fix-A-Flat in there, it's going to ruin those. And those sensors, they can range from $70 to $200, depending upon make and model.
So can you still use the Fix-A-Flat if you have that monitor?
Yes, but you're going, remember, from point A to
right.
the shop, point B, and you just let them know, and they'll clean that all out.
Hmm. Now, what about, and I suppose it would be a good idea when you're checking all the pressure, if you've got, you know, if you have your spare tire, you ought to check that, too.
Oh, automatically. Yes. Yes. That tech, that ASE certified tech, he's trained, he's a professional. He's going to check that spare.
Okay.
You know, well, you need to have that spare tire, because like we were talking before, if it got shredded on the side of the road, you're definitely going to need that spare. Oh, one more item that I found out recently, which I actually love, and I got a set of them, LED flares. Remember how these have those smoky, nasty flares?
Right.
You want people to know that you're broken down on the side of the road. Well, now they have LED reusable flares. They're about $10.
Good.
Great investment.
Wow. That does sound good. So and then what about being a member of all these different auto clubs? Good thing? You know,
yeah,
that will tow and bring you a gallon of gas and all this type of stuff. I'm
but,
sorry,
you
Pam.
Know, you need to choose which one is the best fit for you. For an example, if you just stay in town all the time, having that 100-mile radius, tow, you know, that extra tow on there is not going to be beneficial for you. But if you travel a lot, that $100 or that 100-mile extra
right.
tow is going to be beneficial for you. So, you know, just take your time when you read the different programs out there. There's a lot of great programs out there for road service. And see what fits into your budget the best. You don't need to break the bank on that.
That sounds great. Now, Pam, if people want more information about you, where can they find out about you?
You can go over to our carcareforthecluelist.com, all spelled out one word. And we have a free car care guide on there you can print out and to help you. It has a glossary of terms and basically how your vehicle works. We also have a storm guide, a hurricane guide. Our winter guide is going to be put on there in about 4 to 5 days for winter travel, things that you need to have packed in your vehicle. And it's just, we have an interactive forum. Please participate in that. And it's just all about everybody being savvy car consumers.
That sounds great. Pam Oakes, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for calling us and giving us some tips here today.
And thank you, and happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, Pam. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, well, there you go. Pam Oakes right here with us, Car Care for the Clueless, that's right, .com. If you're like me, I'm kind of clueless, and sometimes I ask questions of other people, and they don't always give me the best advice, so check that out. Be smart. Be capable of knowing the right answer.